Someone is facing a decision today. Someone has come to a fork in the road. I could give you funny advice today. If you come to a fork in the road, take it. You never know when you're going to need a good fork. But not today, friend. No siree. You're going to get some good advice from people who are listening right now who came to a fork in the road and had to make a decision. And the decisions I'm talking about may not be the biggest ones that you make in life. Most decisions we make are not earth-shattering. They're smaller. And the story you share today at the back fence may help someone else. Share it prayerfully on this Friday edition of Chris Fabry Live. Let's get going first by thanking our team, Ryan McConaughey, doing all things technical. Trish is our producer. Pappy's in the chair today. Laura will be answering your calls. And since it's Friday, that's right, friend, it's time for the fabulous Fabry Friday Sigh. What does it do? One, we oxygenate your blood. Two, we get your endorphins going. Three, we raise your serotonin level. Four, we promote lymphatic drainage. And five, we stimulate your parasympathetic system. That's why we call it the five lung languages. We also stimulate your vagus nerve. We help you release acetylcholine. And don't forget what it does to cortisol dissipation. Take in 4 seconds of air through your nose right now. Hold it 4 seconds. And then as you release that air through your mouth, push on the left side of your rib cage to get rid of all that bad carbon dioxide. What a great decision. Take a sigh today for all those decisions you have to make that feel really big. Do we repair the car, the washer, the dryer, or do we go another direction? Do you take the job in another city or town or stay where you are? Do you go to community college and save money on your education or take out loans and go to the big school? Homeschool, private, public school. Oh, the decisions we make. Buy a house in this economy, get an electric vehicle, have kids, adopt, have surgery. Today's fabulous Fabry Friday Sigh is brought to you by all the decisions we have to make and how we make them when we get to the fork in the road. No forks were harmed in the production of today's program. Here's a decision. Do I support Chris Fabry Live or not? Well, you are by listening, so you're already doing that. Thank you, friend. By calling with your story, you support us. Thank you again, friend. But when you invest in this daily conversation, oh boy, howdy, you are part of the hope. You are part of the learning. And if you participate right now with a gift of any size, Glenna Marshall's life-giving, scripture-centric book is our thank you. It's called, wait for it, it's a really hard concept, so they chose an obscure title so that you'd have to think hard about the subject of the book. You ready? The title is Memorizing Scripture. And one of the best things about this book, after going through it, I'm on page 75 right now. One of the best things is Glenna makes you feel like you really can do this. With everybody who will say, oh, I can't remember things very well, I can't recall names, et cetera, et cetera. You can do this, and you will benefit from it in ways you may not be able to imagine. So call today, make the decision, click through with a gift. We'll send you the book, Memorizing Scripture, 866-953-2279. If you can't remember the number, go to the website, chrisfabrylive.org. Scroll down. You'll see it right there. If you can't remember the website, call Ryan McConaughey. I'll give you his cell number. No, I won't do that. What might happen in those moments when you can't sleep or you're struggling with a big decision and you recall a verse? Let's say you heard Elsie Young. Remember, every time Elsie Young used to come on, she's more than 100 years old, she'd get around to Proverbs 3, 5, and 6.
Absolutely.
There you go. There she is. Maybe that's what you exactly needed to meditate on in those moments that'll give you direction. 866-95-FABRY or go to chrisfabrylive.org. Make the decision today to support Chris Fabry Live. And if you can't, you're still a pal, okay? You're still a pal of mine. Here's my question. What was your fork in the road? This prayer request, the program idea came from a prayer request, and this was left on February 14th. I am at a fork in the road regarding staying in my current job or turning in my notice. Please pray for God's peace in my career decision. Thank you. And I saw that and I thought, I wonder if that decision looms large right now. I wonder what it will be like in 5 years. Or 10 years. If the anxiety that we have right now about this decision will follow us into the future, Or if we only recall the decision when it works out negatively, you know, I had to had this, I could go this direction or this direction with whatever, and I went this direction, and boy, do I regret it. And you remember that. I think as we look back, it's the times when, you know, we have gratitude for what happened back there. We see the individual decisions that shape us, but we don't remember the agony that we went through. So I want you to put your thinking cap, your remembering cap on today, if you've got one of those. Do you have a remembering cap with you? I want you to put your remembering cap on and tell me about a decision. And again, this doesn't have to be, you know, the biggest thing. As a matter of fact, it might be the smaller decisions we make at forks in the road that we forget more often, and they seem later on like no big deal. And I don't know, maybe it's the fear that we have, the fear of making a wrong decision and messing up our lives. Of in the 80s, Decision-Making and the Will of God came out. And it was the big question of, is there only one thing that I can do? And if I mess this up, the rest of my life is, you know, I can't. And so that'll get you bogged down with fear that's almost paralyzing. So put that cap on. Do you have a decision that you made? Think about that. A decision that you struggled with long ago. And I don't care if it was about, you know, do I put my children in piano lessons? Or do I have my kids go on traveling on the weekend on the traveling squad with the soccer team or whatever it is? What was the decision you struggled with? The homeschool, Christian school, public school? And the smaller the decision, the better, for at least the purpose of this program today. Maybe you were a teenager, or you were in college, or just out of college, or you were a young mom at your, or you were at your first job. What was the decision you made, one fork in the road that came that forced you to make, choose this or this? 877-548-3675 is our number. 1-877-548-3675. Thank you, Pap. Pappy's got a remembering cap that's royal blue with a red C on the front. Robert Frost wrote a poem, and it begins this way. Two roads diverged in a yellow wood, and sorry I could not travel both and be one traveler. Long I stood and looked down one as far as I could to where it bent in the undergrowth. Did you buy an Edsel? Tell me the truth. Did you buy a Pinto? Did you buy a whole life or term? I remember agonizing over that. It might be job related, could be a healthcare decision. I have a friend who's gone through such agony and struggle over a knee replacement. It's this never-ending saga of pain and struggle for him. I'm thinking of you right now. Won't say your name. And sometimes those kinds of decisions aren't forks. You only have one path, and you hope the outcome is good. I think some of the most agonizing forks, the decisions that we have, are in relationships. Do I say something about this? Do I bring this up with a spouse, with a child, with a parent? At work, do you mention something that kind of sticks in your craw? Or just stay quiet, and then it festers? You know, how do you make the decision if something's big enough to bring up? Some people don't struggle. They have... They don't have a filter. They just kind of share it all. Other people do. What was your decision? 877-548-3675. Jamie, my pal in Florida, said grad school or job. Now that's it, right there. Do I continue with my education, or do I go into the workforce? And if I have, I don't know if she had student debt or not. You got to get a job, start paying this off to go to grad school. I remember telling God that I had no idea and would do the first one I heard from. Ended up with grad school. It was a good path. So that was a positive. Sally says on Facebook, Sally says, moving back to my hometown after graduation, a decision I regret. And so that brings up the whole thing of, is there one best decision for me in my life, and I'm going to make that mistake? The spiritual comes into the equation for me so heavily. We can talk about that and a whole lot more today. I think this is going to be a good conversation because my guess is there's somebody listening right now and you have to make a decision and you don't know which way to go. And you're looking for some, you know, like the light to turn green here. And if it turns green in 5 seconds, then I'm going to go. No, listen to the wisdom of those who've been down the road maybe a little bit longer or made some decisions like yours. It's just you and me and a bunch of forks today at 877-548-3675. What was the decision you needed to make? What were the two forks in the road? How'd you decide? And what happened? Let's see if we can help each other out today at the Radio Backyard Fence. 877-548-3675. More straight ahead. Oh, this is going to be good. This one got Trisha involved. Trisha emailed me. She says, you're talking, I remember the agony I felt in my hiring interview on being asked to make a 2-year commitment when I started work at Moody Bible Institute. Trisha, same thing. It was a 2-year commitment. It was like, oh. It was a hard decision, not a hard decision, but it was a decision that you wanted to honor because if you're going to work there 2 years, if you get something that comes along in 6 months that's better, you know, you don't want to just bail. And Trisha says, here I am more than 23 years later. And this is going to be good. Melissa, I told Pappy, you are the perfect first caller for this program. I love what you have to say. Tell me about your decision.
Okay, my son, our son, has a birthday on June 1st, and where we live in Georgia, you have to have a birthday after or before September 1st to start school. So in my head, I'm a teacher, and I told my husband, I said, we're going to wait a year, and he said, oh, that's ridiculous, we're not waiting a year. And we fought back and forth from the time the child was 3 until it was almost time for school. And so we went ahead, and John won, and we started him, and I regretted it ever since. And then he read a book or listened to a book from Malcolm Gladwell, and it had some of our situation in it.
Really?
And that man had the gall. He had the gall to look at me and say, "Whoa! If I had read this earlier, I'd listen to you." We're still married. We still love each other, but.
And what's your son's name?
His name is Nate.
Nate. Okay. So Nate went to say, how old is Nate now?
Nate is 18.
18. Okay. Perfect. Perfect. So did it do irreparable harm to have him go to school early?
I think it may have.
Really?
The pandemic, yeah, because he is a little immature in the first place. He is adopted, so he's got 2 strikes against him, 3 if you count the fact that he's a male, because males mature at a slower rate. And my husband was also the youngest child in his class. He knew better than that. But anyway,
John won.
Hit.
I love that. John won 12. 1-5. The pandemic did something to Nate. Well, didn't it do something to just about everybody?
It did, but he actually ended up dropping out of school.
In high school?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Well, yeah, you know, and that's, I'm all for education. I'm all for people finishing school and finish what you started and everything. But I got it here. Let me tell you this, Melissa. I just got a text, and I don't know who this is. Dad gave me a choice in the summer of 69. Go back to high school or join the Navy. Did my time finished high school in my bunk nights after work. Honorable discharge, 2 years associate degree on the military GI Bill, Vietnam veteran. So wow. that Nate dropped out of school, that doesn't mean that he... You know, he can't make that get that education or the GED or whatever it is, you know.
Right.
And I know you're for him. You know, you're all for him, aren't you?
Oh Yeah. As an educator, I got to tell you, that is a tough pill to swallow.
Yeah, it is. It is. But is he? He's probably a smart cookie. At the same time, some of the smartest people I've known never went to college, never got, you know, the quote unquote degree, but they have this. I'll get off my soapbox. You know what I'm talking about.
I do know what you're talking about. And he is growing up now, and he has a good, solid job now and has been making some really grown up decisions. It has just taken him a little while to get there. High school was not designed, our son was not designed for modern high school. I will say that. So,
I get it. Yeah. Melissa, thank you for being honest with us and telling Nate's story there and the path that he's taking, you know, and the testimony. It was Mary DeMuth who said, you know, when you talk about your kids, just say they're working on their testimony. and that's what Nate's doing. He's finding his path. But if there's somebody making that decision, because I had, my birthday was 1st of July, 2nd, July 2. And so I had the same thing. And my parents sent me when I was little, and I kind of wish they had waited. But if they had, you know, who knows how I wouldn't be talking, might not be talking to you here the way I'm talking to you today. The decision, the fork in the road for Melissa and John. Edwin is in Florida. Hi, Edwin. What did you call today?
Hi, how are you? Well, I was listening to the radio, and you know, it resonated with me when you said that someone had a decision to make as far as their career. Just because I recently had to make a very, very hard decision. I was working for a company for 10 and a half years, essentially built a career with a company, but for the last about year that I was working for them, I had in my heart that, you know, that it was time for me to, you know, pursue something else. So, I was faced with the decision to, you know, continue on my 10 and a half year career or, resign from my position and, start my own company. I battled with that decision for over a year, until I finally made the decision to go ahead and quit and start and pursue my own company.
What tipped you over the edge then? What gave you, cause you know, you got healthcare and you got taxes and you got to set up the LLC or the five, whatever it is. And you got to do all that. You got to hire a lawyer and think of all the money and think, what tipped you over the edge that said, nah, it's time?
I think it was more so just the way that I was feeling at the company. I was feeling trapped, and I was feeling, you know, like I had no more room to grow, you know, I was depressed you know, it was also a little bit of a toxic environment at my job at the workplace. So, and I just felt in my heart that God had placed in my heart to, you know, that he had something better for me and just to take the leap. So then it was just one of those things where, you know, struggling with it for such a long time, I just finally made the decision to take the leap of faith.
You know what I like about that story, Edwin, what I like is that it took you a year then, you know, you didn't just say, hey, I'm out of here. You know, you thought about it, you ruminated over it, you know, you allowed God to, you know, is this the right thing to do? I don't want to make a big mistake here. And so you let, and my guess is you probably invited other people into that question, not necessarily those that you're working with, but others that you got counsel from, did you ask anybody, you know, hey, do you think this is a good idea?
Sure, absolutely. I had, you know, my family, my sister and my girlfriend as well, that always kept telling me, Edwin, you can do it. You can do this on your own. You can make it, you know? The entire time they were right. I'll tell you what, I made that decision in December, so it's fairly recent. And once I made that decision to make that leap, it's amazing how God just opened up so many doors for me.
Really?
I mean, the industry I work in is a very small industry, and, you know, word spreads quickly. And, you know, when others realized that I had resigned, the amount of job opportunities that I was bombarded with and the doors that got open for me, it was almost as if, like, God was saying, yeah, I told you so. I got you. I got your back. You know, it was absolutely amazing. The opportunities that he has blessed me with since making that decision.
So now the decision comes. Do I do everything that comes to me, or do I have to budget, you know, my time? I can't do everything, but if I say no to this, then maybe it might not come back, you know. So you've got those decisions. You could be working 24 hours a day then.
Yeah, for sure. He's definitely opened doors for me, and I've gotten to the point now where I've gotten my rhythm down. I've gotten my, you know, my feet firmly on the ground as far as my business goes. I got a few accounts that I service, and it's more than enough that, you know, it not only meets what I was making before, far exceeded it as well. You know, and I was making really good money with my job. I was making over $100,000 a year. So that made the decision that much harder. You know, just the unknown of, you know, am I going to be able to make the same kind of money? You know, is it going to be a steady paycheck? Those are all things. They're all questions that kind of haunted me before I actually made that decision. I had faith in God and I trusted in God, and I knew that in my heart that I feel like he put it in my heart because there was something else out there for me. So I guess for anyone that is struggling with the same decision, is just trust in God. And I feel like if he's put it in your heart to do so, you know, just pray about it and just trust in him, because, you know, he knows a lot better than we do. And, you know, he wants better for you.
And listen for his timing, too, because I totally agree with you. I think there are people who are made of entrepreneurs. You know, it's like it's in their DNA, and they have that ability and the forward thinking, and they can go. And it doesn't scare them to take a leap as much as it does other people who have an opportunity and that just, you know, just. They agonize over that. And so the anxiety that you get from doing that thing is more than actually staying where you are. But what you said is there was a multiplicity. There was so many things that were going on emotionally, and there was probably some spiritual stuff going on there as well. And there was rancor in, you know, it was a toxic environment, and all those things together allowed you to take this fork in the road. Edwin, thanks a lot for your call today. 877-548-3675. Michelle is in Florida. Hi, Michelle. Go right ahead.
Hello?
Yeah, go right ahead.
Hi, this is Michelle. And yeah, my fork in the road is deciding whether I should go back to school at 55, whether it should be a private school, private Christian school, or a community college. I'm taking care of both parents that need me pretty much full time. So I'm trying to find something online. And then because of a decision I made 5 years ago, I'm not driving. And I will be in a few more months. But I'm just, you know, like waiting for the Lord to answer. I've been praying for months and months. I just can't seem to get any peace. And I reach out to people and they just, you know, some people say go for it. Other people say don't.
Yeah.
And so in my career, it just got really toxic. And, you know, kind of paralyzed me in that direction as well. So I was just thinking I should step out and go in a different direction.
So going back to school at 55, that doesn't scare you at all. That's not something that you think, oh, I don't know about that. You feel really good about that.
I honestly, I'm mixed. Some days I feel good and some days I don't, because my friends are getting ready to retire all around me.
Right.
And I'm like, oh, God. You know, I feel like, oh, what am I doing?
And the mistake that you made that causes you not to drive is something.
Right.
Does that hang over? Is that like a.
Yes.
Yeah, like a cloud.
Yeah, it's a huge cloud. And honestly, I've been sober for over 5 years. And, I was thinking about going into counseling for addiction and alcohol specialists. But, you got to get your driver's license back, and it's not cheap. And, and it does hang over you. You feel like you're always battling, the enemy. That you're worthless.
Yeah, but look at the victory for the last 5 years. Look at how far you've come, and that you're giving aid to your parents. I see so many good things, and that you are thinking about more education. You're thinking out there rather than just down in here. There's an awful lot about your story, Michelle, that my guess is there's somebody who's going to call in here and is going to echo something you have just said or speak into what you're doing. So I pray that God will give you real peace about moving through this, and even peace in the midst of the decision making. Thanks for your call. This is Chris Fabry live on Moody Radio. And now, a story from CareNet. Jenna was in a hospital gown. It was cold in the abortion clinic. The doctor walked in, stood 3 feet from her, and said, "Are you sure this is what you want?" The day before, she had called CareNet's pregnancy decision line. Jenna told the coach she didn't want an abortion, but her partner Kyle was pressuring her. The coach at CareNet said she had other options, but Jenna had already made the appointment. That's a decision many people are making today, and I'm glad CareNet's there. You can find out about Jenna's decision by downloading a free 40-day devotional from CareNet. It's called A Lifeline of Hope. I know it'll encourage you. The end of Jenna's story is a good one. But the result of the devotional will be, well, you'll have a greater awareness of the kindness and the compassion and the care of God for you and for the unborn, as well as the effectiveness of this pro-abundant life ministry. Go to chrisfabrylive.org, click the green CareNet button. You'll get a free devotional, A Lifeline of Hope. And the other thing that's going to happen is you're going to start to pray for those on the front lines of that ministry, as well as the women and the men who are making decisions, which is what we're talking about today. Click the green CareNet button at chrisfabrylive.org. Fork in the road. Gwen in Cleveland, Ohio. Hi, Gwen.
Hi.
I'm glad you called. Go right ahead.
Yes. First, I have the decision. Wait a minute. Am I talking on my phone or through the car?
I'm not sure, Gwen, because I was having a little hard time understanding you. Maybe turn the radio off. Maybe that's the best thing you can do. That'll help me out. That's a good decision to make right there.
Okay.
And then just talk into that phone. Go right ahead.
Okay. At first I said the worst decision I made, but I want to talk about the best decision. I want to be very positive about this. I've gone through some dark places, some journeys in life that I never thought I would end up at. But nevertheless, I'm just going to tell this last episode. The best decision that I made, I married a man, had been known for 30 years and didn't know that he was a narcissist. In fact, I never even heard the word narcissist. That's been like in 2014. We had a business together and one morning I got up to go renew the license because everything was in my name. I mean, he just really tried to tie me up and get me all bound up and everything without being able to get out of it. Long story short, I had a counselor, and I tell women today I have a support group in my church called Desperate for Jesus, and I want to talk to these women about how to get free and how to get healed from that relationship. And one of the things I want to say, the best decision I made was to, one morning I got up to go get my license. I had one girlfriend, and I consider her as a counselor, that asked me where I was going, and I told her I was going to get my license renewed, and she talked me into not doing it. And I got up that morning, after I didn't go to get the license renewed, I left him with just the literal clothes on my back and made a decision that I had to get out of this relationship, and I did. And I tell you today, that was in 2016, and I haven't turned back yet, and I'm so thankful to God that he really brought me through this thing. I'm not totally free, but I'm, as they say, I'm not where I want to be, but thank God I'm not where I used to be. God is restoring my joy, my peace, my physical, you know, body and everything. So the best decision I made was getting up, leaving that man with just the clothes on my back and driving to, I was in Atlanta and in Alabama, driving to Florida. And now I'm back in Ohio. I am so thankful to God for making that decision based on what she said to me.
Yes.
You don't need to renew the license. You need to get out of there. Your life depends on it. This is a matter of life and death, and I heard her. And that's what counselors are for. They should be able to speak to us in a way and give us advice, and if we trust them, that we can hear what they say and do exactly that, and that's what I did.
And there, Gwen, I'm glad that you called today. There are those who can't see that, and it sounds like you were in that company. You just, this was all that you knew, and somebody else gave you a vision that you don't have to take this. And there are others that I see, at least a few emails that are saying the same thing. I realized that allowing myself to be abused daily was not something that was ever okay. And having to make the decision to change, meaning to leave or change that, was a huge fork in the road. And it was not an easy road. And if this was 2016 for you, it's been 8 years. It's a long road, but this emailer says, I do not regret finding safety and seeking healing. And I would say the same thing to anyone, you know, and I didn't want to get through divorce. And I don't know if that's what you went through, Gwen, or if this was a cohabitation type of thing, but that is one of those huge decisions that people have to make. And I'm glad that in this case, you had somebody there, like the fellow with the small business that we just talked with, Edwin. He has people in his life who are counseling him, who are walking alongside. So you're not doing this all on your own. So that's Gwen's story. Here is Bonnie's story in Indianapolis. Bonnie, tell me about your fork in the road.
Hi, good afternoon. Thank you for taking the time for taking my call. So I've lived in a house for 15 years, renting it. I've worked 15 years for a company, a family-owned company that I simply love. I'm outside sales. I love my customers. And I've met somebody in my life. I was a widow 25 years ago, and I met somebody, and we've grown together over the years. We just started living together 2 years ago. And the house that I'm renting, the people were wanting to get out of the rental business and sell the house. And I never had a credit card in my whole life. I had no credit, so I knew I had to build it. So last year, trying to build credit, trying to save money for the down deposit, and the man in my life, we could pray together, we could laugh together, we could cry together. And I love listening to Moody Radio. And one day when I was driving, I mean, I was just anxiety. I didn't know what to do to stay in the house, try to find a place to live or rent, to move. It was just so much stress going on. And there was a sermon on Moody Radio about how the pastor just wrote it down. He wrote it down on a piece of paper. He gave it to God. I was like, that's a great idea. I know God's with me. I talk to him. But if I write it down and I hand it to him. So when I went home that day, I told my boyfriend, I was like, let's go outside for a second. He's like, oh, I got to do this. And I grabbed his hand and I go, let's go outside for a second. He knew I wanted to pray. And I had a piece of paper with me and a pencil. We went outside and we took our shoes and socks off. We sat down, and this was a Friday afternoon after work. And I just started praying out loud. I got it. I'm so overwhelmed with the decision on what to do with this house. Do we just leave it? I just need a sign. I just need an answer. We will blindly trust you. We love you. You are our best friend. I need a sure sign what you put in front of me, and we will follow it. We will trust you, and we will go with whatever you put in front of our path. Do we stay here and fight for this house that we've been renting, or do we go somewhere else? And I wrote down on the piece of paper, home, as we were praying, and I ripped it up. It was bright yellow paper. And after we prayed, I just let it go. As we opened our eyes, we couldn't even find any piece of paper anywhere on the ground. And this was Friday evening. Monday morning when I went to work, our family business, the family business I worked for, had been sold to a billion-dollar company. And they wanted to keep us on. And then we had an acquisition bonus that we were going to receive. And it was enough to be a down payment on the house to stay and to buy the house that we were living in. And then I had so many companies try to get me away from that business. And I said, no way. God put this in front of us immediately. I'm going to follow. We love him. We trust him. And I'm staying. It's been 6 months now. And everything is just going in the right direction. And I just couldn't. I don't understand how people can say that they don't believe in God. Because I feel him. I hear him. He provided with us from that Friday evening to that next Monday morning. And just write it down and give it to God. And Moody Radio, I would have never done that if I wouldn't have been listening.
I'm so glad that you heard that and that you called, and just that picture of you and him outside. I don't know how to say this, Bonnie. I always want this program to be a safe place for you to call and say whatever you want and talk about your story and tell your story. But when you said, my boyfriend and I moved in together and we're there, and there are some who are going to say, oh, you old fuddy-duddy, you. Marriage is just a contract. Marriage is just a piece of paper. So what do you think is holding you back from commitment and from a marriage relationship with this fellow? If I can be so bold as to ask you that.
Oh, and you're fine. I was a widow at 25 years old, and I've raised two children by myself. I have seen so many men and women the same, being unfaithful and stepping out of marriage. And my boyfriend comes from a background of a very abusive, mental abusive relationship. So if you ever asked me, I'd say yes. But right now it's just healing and having a relationship. We're going on 5 years together. And to be safe, we are safe together. And if it's God willing and it puts it in his mind and his mouth, it will be accepted. But right now, I think the past has just been, we've had so much turmoil and so much that right now we're just safe. And I've never been able to cry with somebody and talk about God and pray to God together the way that we are.
Yeah.
So it's a forever love in our forever home. And being married would be an icing on the cake, but we know we don't need that piece of paper. But at the same time, I do think about that because we are growing closer and closer to God every day. And if it's meant to be, it will happen.
Yeah. Well, again, thank you for being honest and telling your story. The struggle that I'm with your widowhood and all that you've been through, I have no idea. You know, I'm sitting at my desk in Tucson, Arizona. I have no idea what you've gone through, Bonnie. But I do know that there is this scriptural thing. You say Jesus spoke to me and he blew those pieces of paper away. I don't think I would be doing you a good service to just simply say, well, God bless you too, and I hope it works out, and I hope you have a forever home. I think there is something that is pleasing to God when you follow his directives about relationships. And I know you agree with that. And you can't. And so I don't think I would be doing you a service to just say, so long, and call me back again if you ever get married. I'd love to hear about it. I think that something happens when you decide, no matter what, to obey what God tells you to do in the scripture. And so that's the disconnect that I'm feeling and the tension. So hang on, I want to talk with you in the break. I don't know if anybody else felt that way, but we're talking about decisions. and hers was about a house. What about you? More straight ahead on Moody Radio. Just talk with Bonnie. I told her, I hope you don't feel like I hit you over the head with a 2x4. And she, at the end, she just said, I'm just so thankful for Moody Radio. And so am I. And thanks for your support. Hey, thanks to Colin Lambert, who sat in for me yesterday on the program. On Monday, next week is going to be recorded for many people. So I know Monday is going to be recorded for you because I had Patrick Morley on talking about men and the struggle of broken boyhood, broken childhood. Got to listen to Monday's program. And then we have Best Of broadcasts for many of you who are going to hear that next week. And a special one next Friday, the Just Like, what was the name of that song? It's a Bonnie Raitt song that we played. Just Like That. Thank you, Ryan. Just Like That. Today it's decision making. Bob's in Minnesota. Bob, tell me your fork in the road. And I'm not hearing Bob. Okay, put Bob on hold. And Jane is in the middle of making a decision. Jane, go right ahead.
Well, it's a hard, hard decision. And I've been praying about it for some time. About whether to leave my church or not. We have a new young pastor, and he lives quite away from our church, so he's not available for any emergency. And we don't have a midweek service because he has family responsibilities. And so, but I want to know for sure before I make any decision about leaving.
Now, Jane, is there another church that's close to you? This church is probably pretty close, but there's another church that you feel like I could probably plug in here and be able to worship and serve and live?
Yes, and several of our members have left and went to this other church.
Okay. But it's not because you don't feel mad at those people over there or even mad at the young pastor who has, you know, travel and has other things. It's that you're just not able to connect the way that you want to in the body. Is that right?
Yes. And I'm not trying to compare him to the pastor we had that left, but I just don't feel like I'm getting what I need. And I've heard you have to put something into the service to get something out, and I go there expecting to be blessed, and some of his sermons are good, but there's even other things that he has chose not to honor, and I say, Lord, is this showing me the way to get out and go? Many members say, well, I've been here all my life. I'm not leaving. And I don't think that's the right answer.
Right. Jane, I want to tell you, I want to come alongside you here today, and I'm going to speak to you. Just if I were the pastor of that church and I were the young guy who's traveling around, and you sat and you said exactly what you said to me here, and I'm the pastor, I would say, Jane, if you're not being fed here in the way and the ministry that is being done, I release you. You do not have to come here. We love you. We'd love to have you here, but if there's something, you know, better that will help you and will allow you to serve better and to worship better, then we don't want you here simply because, you know, you come and you sit in the pew and you support this ministry. You know, if this is really a work of God, then God is going to provide. And if you need to go to that other church, and then I will release you. Now, that's what I would say if I were the pastor. I don't know if the pastor who's listening would say the same thing that I would, but if I, that I just did, but if I heard your heart right there, I'm not leaving because I hate the people. I'm not leaving because I even don't like your sermons, although, you know, there's probably some in that, it sounds like. I just feel this desire to for more, and probably more being able to plug into the body. Just your desire to do that, I think, would be honored by God. And I, you know, I can't set you free. I'm not the pastor, and I'm not the spirit either. But I love the way that you're wrestling with that decision to honor Him and to care for the people who are around you. So you hang on too. I want to talk to you after the program today. Boy, there's a lot of decisions being made. A lot of decisions that have gone under the bridge, like Melissa with Nate, who's now 18, and Edwin and Michelle going back to school, and others. And maybe there's a decision that you're struggling with that you heard about even here today. Thanks a lot for coming alongside us. Thanks for your support of the program, your help with the program, praying for the folks who call in here, even those who weren't able to get on today. Come on back next week and enjoy the conversations we have for you at the Radio Backyard Fence. Chris Fabry Live is a production of Moody Radio, a ministry of Moody Bible Institute. Thanks for listening.